Hello? Great. Okay. So I bring greetings from the warm Zambia, and specifically from my family, Chris, Mapalo, and Faith. I had a picture, I'm not sure they're going to show it. Just want you to see how God has been gracious to us. If you saw Faith when we came here, Faith was only 7 years. Mapalo was 16 years now. They are 16 and 22 years old. So it's such a blessing. And you all know that our firstborn daughter went to be with the Lord. She came here in 2011. That's Nachi. And the Lord has been keeping us strong. It has been, it's been a journey, but God has been faithful. I want to say thank you to Pastor Barry, Michelle, Pastor Kim, and the entire leadership for having us here to come and speak. And as you can see, the Lord has already spoken, has already started speaking, because he's already ministering to us. With me is Masuzio Muteto. Please come. I'll later greet you. She has a family as well. So Suzio, in short, he's really a ministry partner, but my daughter, because she and my daughter were very good, close friends. So she sort of just stepped in, and she's really become a real daughter, and has just, you know, goes wherever I go. So when I said I'm going to Canada, she said, I'm coming. I wasn't so sure whether she really meant that. And here she is. And yeah. We're going to read the passage of scripture from Acts chapter 1, verse 1 to 14. And I'll read Joel 2, 28 and 29. I'm not sure. Okay. The font is too small for me. I'm reading from the New International Version. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. After he had said this, he was taken up before their very faces, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Let's turn to Joel chapter 2. And I'm going to read verse 28. And 29, sorry. And afterward, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my spirit in those days. I'm going to speak on the subject, the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father. And before I delve into the word, shall we just bow down and pray? I feel the presence of the Lord is so overwhelming in this place. Right from the start, the time we got in here, I'm not sure about you, but the presence of the Lord is here. The Lord is here with us, and he wants to do great and mighty things. Amen. So all he's asking you to do today is to open up your heart. I don't bring anything new. This is the word that you have. This is the word you have been reading. This is the word that the Lord has been confirming. And because our Christian lives are not lived in the flesh, we live in the spirit, and we need to be empowered by the Spirit of the living God. And I pray that as we leave this place, we are going out a different people. I don't know at the place where you are at, but the Lord wants to raise you wherever you are. It doesn't matter where you are coming from. It doesn't matter where you have been. It doesn't matter who you think you are. The Lord has the best for you, and there's wonderful plans for you. Shall we pray? Father God, as we look into your word, we invite the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, to teach his word to each one of us. Yes, to break this bread of the bread of heaven. The Lord, each one of us will have a share. Each one of us will go out satisfied, having been in the presence of the Lord. I pray for a special anointing to rest upon me, that Lord, as I declare your oracles, I'll only declare that which you want me to speak in this day. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray with thanksgiving in my heart. Amen. You'll see a number of scriptures, but we'll be reading those as I go through this sermon. So in by way of introduction, Susie has just given it all, the way we came into Vancouver and how God has just given us that boldness. And I don't think it's by accident or anything. It's just to confirm what God is able to do. So the Holy Spirit has been given for holistic transformation. He convicts us for repentance, gives us the new birth and power to live a Christian life, and also gives us power to serve or for service. Therefore, in this postmodern or post-Christian culture, we need all the more the demonstration of signs and wonders by the Spirit to confirm the word and point Jesus to Christ. We went in one shop on Broadway, and we were just looking and checking what was in the shop. So suddenly, I just got this boldness, and I went to the young ladies. I said, young ladies, do you know Jesus? Are you Christians? I wasn't ashamed. I called it as it was. So, well, I know, but we know, we just don't worship one God. We know about several other gods. Then one lady from Asian origin said, I've been to a Christian concert, but nothing was preached, nothing about the word of God. And then somebody says, I just feel like there's something in me. I don't understand it. Did she say a baby me inside? I don't know what it is. I said, what's that baby me? I think there's a longing in your heart to connect with God, whatever you call it. You can't understand, but you feel like there's something within you that wants to connect to God. So we need to desire the empowering presence to enable us to do God's work as we go out. And we need to earnestly make ourselves available to the Holy Spirit through prayer and study of God's word. I'm just going to give a little background to this book. So the book of Acts, and I know that the men of God will delve into it and flesh out, you know, many details out of this book and many other books that will be related to the work of the Holy Spirit. So the book of Acts begins with Jesus debriefing his disciples about what would follow after his departure. And Jesus continues to assure them, you know, that he's been talking about them, he's been preparing them. It's not just this moment that Jesus comes and begins to tell them what should happen. He'd been telling them that I need to go away and another comforter will come. And now he's reassuring them and saying, I'll send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And they are instructed to wait. To wait. And sometimes we're in a rush, you know. We are so busy, we live busy lives, and we have this and that to do, and so forth. I do a lot of things, and I call my mom, Lorena. We talk on the phone, and sometimes she'll just say, you do so many things. You know, I have this, that. I'm doing so many things. And sometimes we get so busy doing so many things in our lives that it's so difficult to wait. But God is calling us to a place where we can sit and wait. He told them, do not leave. Wait until the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And that's Luke 24, verse 29. He says, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 5, he says, John baptized you with water, but not many days from now you shall be baptized with fire. I know the disciples going to ask him when is it the time when the kingdom should be restored and so forth. And I feel like the process had begun with the disciples. And Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. Who is a witness? A witness is somebody who has seen it, who has witnessed something happen, and they've got the first-hand information. And each time I've gone in different countries of the world, there's just one group I find on the street. Do you know them? They are ever there with their books. Whichever country you go to, come to Zambia, you'll find them. Come to Canada, you'll find them. I went to Germany, I found them. So I began to think, did they just grasp that word witness, to be a witness? And they are called Jehovah's Witnesses. And they've lived up to that. They're always going out and preaching. And they are so daring. One time I was driving out of my yard. They didn't bother that I was in the car. They still came. They knocked on my gate. I opened, and I thought, well, they'll see I'm driving out. It just makes sense that somebody's going out. They came to the window, said, we've got something to share with you. Do you have a minute? Oh, I was so amazed. And I said, actually, we are pastors. They don't care whether you're a pastor or whatever it is. They just want to make sure that you've got the word. And that's the boldness that we need to have. Whether somebody says they are Christian or not, you're going to go there, sit down and listen. And let them talk. And I like that. I said, okay, I'm busy. Oh, okay, can we give you the magazine? So you see, they don't give up. They don't give up. And I said, wow, this kind of boldness. So we see that, you know, as Jesus tells these disciples, they faithfully joined together in obedience to Jesus' instruction to wait for the Father's promise and as spoken by Joel, which we just read. So today I would like to urge you and myself to desire the Holy Spirit in our personal lives. I say personal lives. It's not about the next person where they have experienced that. It's about me experiencing the Holy Spirit so that you can be an effective witness for Jesus. And believers will be effective witnesses when they make a resolve. You make a resolve to embrace the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit in order to be effective witnesses. I think it's a decision that each one of us have to make. So we see that, you know, these disciples empowered by the Holy Spirit, you know, they preached, taught, healed, demonstrated love wherever they were sent, God sent them, in synagogues, in homes, marketplaces, in courtrooms, in streets, on hills, and in ships, wherever they were found. So I think what matters and what will carry the day is our disposition. What will be central is your disposition to take steps to experience the Holy Spirit in your life. So what steps are you taking? Are you taking any step, or are you just sitting back? So number one is determination to wait. Like I said, it's not easy to wait, but they were determined, as we read from Acts chapter 1 and verse 12 to 14. I won't go into that. So waiting requires patience. I don't think the Holy Spirit was poured the very first day they went in the upper room. They were waiting. It was days, maybe weeks, had passed by when the day of Pentecost came. They were not just waiting, looking in the ceiling, not knowing what to do. They were waiting actively. They were engaged in prayer, in the study of the Word. Do you want to receive the Holy Spirit? Stay in the Word. Stay in prayer. Be devoted. They made supplications to God. They were, you know, looking forward. And how did they do this? They waited in one accord. I see unity of purpose being demonstrated right there. He said, wait, as a team, they went together in the upper room together with all the other women that were with them. Their minds, affections, desires were in sync. They waited without wavering. I'm not sure how many of you have waited. You're waiting for someone. Sometimes my husband, Chris, is very, very patient. And I'm so blessed to marry him. I'm so blessed. But sometimes, you know, you go out in the car, then you forget another thing. You are running back in the house to pick it. You come back. You go back. Oh, I've forgotten this. Then you say, you stand at the door and say, is this the last thing? I'm about to close now. Is this the last thing? But I just admire his patience. But sometimes some of us just can't wait. You know, we lose our patience. So the disciples waited until the Holy Spirit came upon them in tremendous power. The second thing I see is that they are deep longing and desire for the Spirit. You know, they were longing for the coming of the Holy Spirit. They were thirsty for the Spirit of God. And I know that when I'm thirsty, nobody will, you know, put a cup of water on my, you know, mouth and to drink. When you are longing, you are desiring and everything, you know, they are waiting. They were thirsty. So Jesus is inviting all of us that are thirsty for the power of the Holy Spirit to come and drink. To come and drink. I'm not sure you are able to give us John chapter 7, 37, but I can go there quickly. John chapter 7, verse 37. On the last day and the greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. The third thing I see is the expectation in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. They were anticipating power, you know, as they were waiting, because I think they had, I don't know what was going on in their minds, but they were anticipating that this Holy Spirit will come. And in what form? Maybe they didn't know exactly. I'm just trying to imagine. But they were anticipating power, you know. This is like dynamite power, which is more than strength or ability, a blasting force which causes hard substances to disintegrate. This is just an example. All of us have seen a dynamite. I live in a country where we have copper minerals. And sometimes I lived in that town, and we could hear, you know, blastings going forth, and you could even feel the tremors. You know, you could feel the tremor, though it was, you know, kilometers away. But when that dynamite was blown in that mine, you could feel the effect of that dynamite. And we need to have that power that will go out and people will sense that power. And they won't doubt it. They will know there is power. They will know something has changed. They will know somebody has come. And they are declaring the word of God with boldness. They were anticipating transformation, you know, to be clothed with extraordinary courage. So we've been going out with Susio and our friend, Bonnie. She's been our host, and we went to the seawall. We were not ashamed to pray at the seawall, right there in the middle where people were standing. And I believe the people that we've prayed for, somehow God is doing something new in their lives. They were anticipating the prophetic, to be able to speak. We need to be relevant. You know, sometimes we preach the word, but I want somebody who come to me and tell me just the word that I need in that season. We all go through different seasons in our lives. And sometimes we just don't know who will come with that word. We want you to be those people that will go out and speak the very word that somebody, I like calling names where I come from. I like calling names out, but I'm sorry if that's not okay. But Mary, Carolee, when you read Joel 3, when you started talking about, this refreshing presence, I grabbed her hand. I said, what? She's already speaking my word. She's already speaking my word. I whispered in her. Then you read I said, oh, now that's the sermon. It's already preached. I don't need to go up there. But this shows that this is what God wants to do. When God says something, Mary Carol, you okay with that? She got the word. She too, just where we were seated, she was just led by the Spirit and she was showing, Catherine, do you see this verse? I think this is your verse. It's about the power of the Holy Spirit coming on us. Amen. And here we are. And I'm sure God has been speaking to your hearts. God has been speaking to your hearts. So expectation. The disciples were anticipating empowered praying, to pray beyond the normal. What do I mean to pray beyond the normal? You should come to Africa and see how we pray. Yeah. sometimes you feel these people are crazy. My sister was saying, there's a man in the church, in our church, who prays as if he's fighting. We do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but against priests. And actually, they demonstrate it in the way they pray, the way they hit the walls and everything. You think they are crazy. But they just want to show how angry they are at the devil, and to show him that he's under our feet. Amen. So there must be intentionality when we pray. We need to say, today I'm not eating. We have a brother. We need to bring him. We have our brother in the Lord. He says, they were praying, but I wasn't so happy with their prayer. I told them, please sit down. Let me pray. What he means is he doesn't see the passion, doesn't feel it, but he wants, when he pray, actually he moves from one end of the church to the other. I don't do that. He moves from one end of the church to the other. It's just in him. He wants to feel prayer. He wants to feel it that he's praying. Yeah. He'll probably come with Pastor Chris. The fourth point and the last point before I conclude is power in action. Power in action. We all know about Peter. Who doesn't know Peter? Peter is the one who says, oh, Jesus, I want to come. I want to walk on the water. I like Peter. I like Peter for his courage. He made mistakes. But he didn't sit back or give up and say, oh, I made a mistake. I won't do it again. Oh, why did I look down? Why did I start sinking? At least he stepped out of the boat. We should give him credit and clap for Peter. Yeah. He stepped out of the boat. How many of us would have had that courage to step out of the boat? He stepped out of the boat. He did a few steps, then he realized, where did you see people walking on water? It doesn't work, and he started sinking. And sometimes we step out on faith, but we are overwhelmed by the storms of life, and we drown just there. We stop focusing on Jesus, and we start looking at what's happening around us. But Peter, on this day, in chapter 2, suddenly when the power of the Holy Spirit had come upon them, Let's go to chapter 2. How are we doing with time? Okay. That will be the last. Chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, please. I'm going to read verses 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed like my sight. I think I need to be wearing glasses. It's true. It's there? Okay.
They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them.
Amen. So, no. Okay, before as well? Okay. Okay. So this is a Peter now who's just been close with power. You can't hold Peter at this moment. He's had a real experience. And he goes out in that chapter, you go and read on your own, and he begins to declare the word. He begins to quote scripture. He begins to, to challenge the people. He said, but I'm going to read 37. This is very important. I need to read it. Chapter 2, just towards the end. It says, Peter replied, when the people heard this, they were cut to their hearts and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. So number one, these people were convicted. The Holy Spirit had come. And they asked, what shall we do? What shall we do? And he said, repent and be baptized. And 3,000 souls were won to the Lord. Again, they continued in the teaching of the apostles and so forth. And again, I like the story in chapter 3. We won't go into it. We all know the crippled man at the temple gate. As they are walking, I'm not sure that this was the very first time they walked in that temple. That man must have been there. But looking intent, he said, look at us. Silver and gold I do not have, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. You cannot dispense what you don't have. You cannot give what you don't have. And I like it because Peter actually just goes there and he helps this person up. Silver and gold. And sometimes I feel like I say, oh, silver I have, get. And I don't meet the real need. I don't meet the real need. Susie will tell you that we have a lot of street kids in Zambia. They sleep on the street. Mary Carr has lived in Zambia, so she knows the story. And Mary Carr sometimes will just have some biscuits, some nuts, soya beans, and she'll give out. So this person says, silver and gold as. Do look at me. I mean, for you to say look at me, you better be ready for what you are calling someone to. Yes. And he had that assurance, and that's what God wanted to do. Silver and gold I do not have, but such as I have, I give to you. God has given us so much friends. Someone just wants a word of encouragement. Why don't you go around and wrap your arms around them and speak that word, a word in season? It's not so much about the material, the stuff that people are looking for. People have got deeper needs. Yes, that was a physical need, but I trust that that man was transformed from the inside out. He went out jumping, At this stage, Peter and John are arrested, but the story continues, and an additional 2,000 people are added because people had seen what God had done. we need the Holy Spirit to do ministry more effectively. And I felt like we are coming to the Father, the promise of the Father. And sometimes we have no deeper connection with the Father, the one who's going to give us the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come to empower you to preach the gospel to the lost, heal the sick, break strongholds, cast out demons in order to impact your community and beyond. There's a song by Fanny Crosby, "Rescue the Perishing, Care for the Dying." The primary purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to give you power to communicate the message of Jesus Christ. Desire the Holy Spirit. Express deep thirst for the Holy Spirit today. Begin to yield to Him, and you experience that warmth, the peace, and joy that He brings in your life. Let us all come and drink. Repentance and connecting to the Father is what will give us the Spirit in abundance. And as I sat, there's a song, "He is a good, good Father." He is a good, good Father. If we who are evil know how to give children good gifts, how much more? How much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Amen. That is Luke. It's not even there. It just came as I was preparing. That's Luke 11, 11 to 13. How much more? How much more? I would like to invite the worship team to just lead us that into this song. He's a good, good Father. And I just want you to open your heart and connect with the Father who said, "I'll send you the Spirit, I'll send you the gift." And we continue to drink in our Christian lives. We don't drink once. We continue to drink so that, you know, we can be empowered to do the work of ministry.